What's going on, everyone? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles and the only Islanders podcast to be drafted 28th overall in 2014, miss practice and run the Coliseum steps, be a lightning rod for controversial opinions amongst Isles fans for 5 years, change numbers, help the team go 9-1 last season, and eventually get waived. We'll miss you, Josh. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined by Kenny Ivero.
What's going on, guys?
And Ben Cohen.
How's it going, guys? I'm a little bit hurt. I mean, in the show notes, Damon wrote his intro, and it says Ben Cohen, yada, yada, yada. So, ouch.
Yeah, but he also left out that I wrote for Kenny, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the preseason games are over, where the Islanders finished up with a record of 5-2, and we're finally just a few days away from official puck drop to the 2019-2020 season. So we've got a ton to cover today. We're going to recap the final three preseason games, roster cuts, the return of the natural hat trick, and we're going to preview the upcoming season opener and pretty much the first week of games. But before all that, how are you boys doing today?
I'm not good. I would be doing better, but we went to record and I was just plugging my microphone in and the stupid cord is broken. The last podcast, my intro was, I'm so happy, you know, hopefully this mic is going to last for years to come. Literally the second episode is gone. So.
It's probably the same squirrels that are living in the roof or attic of my house right now. Maybe they got over to you and chewed that cable. So I've been having a ton of fun dealing with that. I don't live in a dump, guys, I promise. It's just
no, he's got
house.
A really nice house. It's yeah. A really nice house, actually.
It's really nice. It's so nice that squirrels want to live in it also. And they don't care. Oh. They're aggressive. These things don't care. Like, you bang on the ceiling and they, like, bang back. Like, you leave. Like, it's
they're
it's
New Jersey.
Crazy.
They've just
it's
made that
crazy, dude. Like, if well, there was a...
You've seen how aggressive they are in Christmas Vacation chasing Chevy Chase around. So, I believe that, yeah, it would be...
These things are... They don't care. They don't care. And traps don't work. Okay, I put peanut butter in a trap. Okay, not one that kills it, just traps it, folks. Relax. I was going to just release it 10 miles away, maybe, okay? These things just stick their hand and eat the peanut butter. They're like, oh, no, this isn't going to work on us. Like, these
now,
things are
well,
sophisticated.
Did you use Skippy or Jif?
I use Chunky peanut butter.
Chunky.
Irresistible.
The Long Island Sound Podcast brought to you by... No. Oh. Okay, anyway, stop no free ads, rant. Folks. Not happening. All right, boys. All right, so let's get into it. I believe... We've got a short news portion here. I think this is the final time we're actually going to talk about RFAs. I believe we're done after this.
Until Barzal.
You mean until next year?
And that's yes, our only year. Podcast turns into a Long Island Sound
right.
RFA.
Okay.
Pod.
You guys got to get over the fact that I put blah, blah, blah and yada, yada, yada in the show notes. Just get over it, okay?
Dude, if he goes to training camp not signed, I'm not doing this podcast until he signs.
I'm going to stop right now if we see
we're
if
on
not
strike.
Talking about Barzal. Can we just make it true? Okay, ready? After this episode, no more talking about Matt Barzal being an RFA until the end of the season, and no more talking about Josh Hosang unless he actually gets called up or gets claimed by somebody else or whatever. Okay, good deal.
Sounds good to me.
I yep. don't agree, actually. I love talking about both of those things.
Okay, well, majority rules here. So, anyway, moving on. Matt Tkachuk signs a 3-year, $7 million deal, $21 million total, so $7 million on the AAV. Patrick Laine, all that smoke, all those rumors, he's going to the Devils, blah, blah. No, he signs a 2-year deal, $6.75 million AAV, $13.5 million total. And Mikko Rantanen signs a 6-year deal, $9.25 million, so $55.5 million. What I love about this deal is that it shows you that the Leafs overpaid for Marner. Love it. And Kyle Connor signs a 7-year deal with Winnipeg, $7.14 million cap hit for a cool $50 million. So that pretty much takes all the big boys off the board. We don't have to talk about RFAs anymore. And, you know, I know that we've been talking about this topic so much at the start of every show, but I thought this article from The Athletic written by Justin Bourne was important to kind of cover. We've been talking about how these guys are signing bridge deals and everybody's kind of asking why. Why is this all of a sudden becoming a thing? You've got some guys signing 6 years, some guys signing 2, 3. So I thought it was interesting, and I want to read a portion of his article here. So Justin Bourne, and again, I'm going to plug The Athletic all day long. It's an awesome site. The shift we're seeing in the NHL, the shift
please
towards paying. What?
Please sponsor us.
I'm going to start that one over.
My bad.
The shift we're seeing in the NHL, this shift towards paying RFAs the dollars they're actually worth and likely putting a further, though justifiable, squeeze on the NHL's middle class, comes from watching the NBA and more recently the NFL. Players are trying to better exert what little control they have over their careers, both in terms of where they get paid and when. Becoming a UFA, as Tkachuk would be at age 25 were he to play out this bridge deal and accept a one-year qualifying offer after that, is setting the man up to get handsomely paid twice more over his career. I think players who are clearly going to have lengthy NHL careers are more cognizant of these things than ever before. So it's a real nice articulate way of kind of saying what we were thinking. These guys, they want to get paid multiple times. They're important to their clubs. They're getting paid now, and they're going to get, you know, two real big paychecks down the road. What do you guys think about this?
He definitely nailed on the head. I think the only other thing that I would add is that it could have to do also, at least for some of these teams, like when you think about Laine and Connor, that the teams don't have that much cap room. So it could have to do, if you're thinking about someone taking a three-year deal, you're thinking, all right, I'm trusting I'm going to be good, and you're going to fucking pay me in 3 years, right? So I'm going to, you know, be okay with taking this deal, and you're going to be okay with taking this deal because I'm going to be loyal to you in 3 years or not. And really, it leaves so many doors open that you don't really know whether it's going to favor the team or the player. It depends on how the player plays, which, again, is what the players want, that for it to be in their hands. So it's definitely some sort of reclaiming of power, I think. And it definitely has something to do with the NBA and the NFL, where those things happen every day.
Yeah. Doesn't it have something to do with, like, arbitration rights and stuff like that? Like, you know, at the end of that three-year deal, they're still under a certain, you know, rule set, and then they have to be paid, like, a certain amount of whatever their last year deal is. And these deals seem to be, like, they're not – you know, a three-year $21 million deal is not broken down to 7-7-7 yearly. It's like usually backloaded. And then that last year they're getting paid, like, you know, not their annual average cap hit, but like more than that. So that way they have to be paid like at least a certain portion of that or more for arbitration rights. So this is like a benefit to the players, correct?
It's a qualifying offer. Yeah.
Cool, yeah,
so a three-year deal, that's $7 million AAV. What most of these guys are doing is they're getting paid, say, $5 million, then $7 million, then $9 million. So that last year deal is what they can sign for their qualifying offer. So they get the $9 million deal, and then that's if they want to become a UFA after that. But I believe that's how it works. So and that's what we're seeing with a lot of these bridge deals, is that the last year is the highest as far as salary goes.
Yeah.
That way, you know, now Rantanen's is the opposite because it's a longer term, I believe.
Yeah. But all these guys on threes, like that's what's happening. Right. Like, it's crazy. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So, So Justin Bourne definitely hit it on the head, and he's a little bit of, you know, Islander royalty, being a, you know, Bob Bourne, Gilly's child. So.
Oh, that's him. Yeah. Yeah. He's like a journalist thing. I remember like them mentioning that.
He's great.
Like Islanders point blank mentioned that like a while ago, right?
Yep. Yep. For sure.
Yeah. Old school.
Yep. And then the last quick bit of news, just a trade between Carolina and St. Louis. Carolina sends Justin Faulk over for Joel Edmondson, Dominic Bach, and a seventh round pick. Now, Dominic Bach, if you're not sure who he was St. Louis's first round pick in 2018. He was 25th overall pick. So they end up sending over Edmondson, a prospect, and a seventh round pick for Faulk, who then went and signed immediately a seven-year deal. 7 years, $6.5 million on the cap. So just some housekeeping there. So that's it. We should be done with RFAs.
Apropos NBA and NFL, doesn't it suck that these deals happen are just so rare? Like, I'm with Barzal said it in a few weeks ago and in an interview, and everyone made such a big deal out of it, saying that he wasn't sure that he wanted to stay, which was a load of shit. But I think we talked about it before. I'm not going to plug past episodes, Damon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that happened to be a plug, but it was unintentional. Anyway, so it you just want those deals to happen more. I mean, sure, like, great player in Falk and Edmondson and someone who stepped up in the playoffs for the in the playoff run for the Blues for sure. But if that's your, you know, your headline deal, it's not exactly something to market as the NHL.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of old school. I like teams kind of building up and I like that rebuild. And then you kind of see the core form and then they go on their run. And I mean, I don't know, maybe that's like, you know, an old way of thinking, but I still like that. I like getting invested in some of these players and some of these prospects that, you know, as an Islander fan, you follow these guys. I would hate for, you know, me to be hyped up. And then after like a 3 year stint and they're just starting to come into their the beginning of their prime, they run, it's like that's not fun. But I mean, I don't know, it's different opinion, I guess. But
yeah, it's only fun when you're receiving one of the other team's, you know, great players right before they like hit their stride. Yeah. It's not gonna be fun, dude, if like Beauvillier walks like as he has a sick year and then Barzal is giving us trouble to training camp, like. And yeah, I just don't know. And by the way, a little tidbit, Carolina's not making the playoffs, by the way. Like, I don't.
We're also saying this post Tavares.
Yeah, well, Tavares, that was a little bit different of a situation. Like, he didn't give us a problem getting re-signed. It was after, you know, he was a UFA.
Yeah.
But, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll cover us on the RFA front, so and the trades and everything else. So now we can get into the final preseason games of the season. And we sort of halfway covered this game last episode while it was happening. We were recording during the game. It was the Monday night, the 23rd against the Detroit Red Wings. Isles ended up winning that game 3-2 in overtime. Roster for that game was Leddy, Hickey, Eberle, Barzal, Kunackel, Clutterbuck, Martin, Bellows, Spezza, Lee, Dalcol, Hutton, Dobson, Komarov, Koivula, Cizikas, Boychuk, Yabst, Varlamov, and Gibson. So this game, Varley was in net and ended up stopping 21 of 23 shots. Isles jump up 1-0. Eberle opens up the scoring as we played his lovely song last episode. Opens up scoring early in the first period. Barzy and Leddy get the assists on the even strength goal. Then Eberle scores another one. Barry is a power play goal. A few minutes later, Barzy and Lee with the assist. So Isles are up 2-0. Detroit comes back. Rasmussen gets a goal late in the second. Svechnikov gets a goal. Power play middle of the third from Veleno and Koski. And then this was, I thought, just Mason Yobbs put on a clinic in overtime. So he was out there with Lee again. Second time that Trotz put those two out there in overtime. And like right off the draw, Yobbs, like he's kind of, I don't know. Like he's kind of battling a little bit. He drops down and gets the puck and he stick handles around like everybody. So that was the first thing. And I was like, whoa, this kid, like when he's got room, he's got some skill. He controls the play, takes the puck around the dots, dishes a saucer to Anders Lee, and Lee just buries it for the overtime winner. So, I mean, again, this play was pretty much the reason why we named last episode, you know, about, you know, naming it around Mason Yobbs, because I mean, the kid just dominates in overtime and, it's just awesome to see. And, I was a little bummed to see that he didn't make the squad, but no one really thought he was, you know, they thought he was going to be in Bridgeport. I'm really excited to see what he does down there.
Yeah. He had one of the best camps, honestly. Like, just because you don't make the team doesn't mean you didn't have the best camp possible. I mean, this kid was a complete unknown, and you know, we'll get into who we think had the best camp. But this kid, I mean, I think he had the best camp for the person that didn't make the team, and maybe one other guy that we'll mention in the future. But Mason Yost, I mean, geez, dude, this guy could be a freaking player for us in the next year or so. I mean. Sure.
Undrafted guy at college. I mean,
beautiful.
Smashed expectations.
Why not us? Like every other team gets a guy like this and they step in and it's like, oh my God, you know? So why not us, man? It's okay. Let him marinate in Bridgeport for a year and then just come in and steal a spot, man.
Yeah. Even just making Bridgeport out of out of college and making Bridgeport, you know.
That's a win. Yeah. He was probably slated for UCHL.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was a Hobie Baker finalist, so they obviously had some sense.
Yeah, that so was Matt Gilroy, but
yeah, and Gilroy, you know, came in with pretty high expectations at first.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know what? I hate the Rangers, so there you go. That's my.
You know what? You know what this camp reminded me. You know what this camp reminded me of with Yobst? You know, don't smoke me for this, but when Matt Molson first came up and like he had an incredible camp too, and it was like, who is this kid? Like he just like was scoring
Tavares' boyfriend.
Yeah.
Basically, well, in hindsight.
I mean, that was like the first time that that I had ever really heard of Molson besides, you know, just like reading about him in like, you know, articles. Like I didn't know anything about him.
He played street hockey with Tavares back in the, you know, like what? Oh, he's really good. Like, I don't know. That was random, you know? Like, the chemistry they had was insane.
Yeah. So that's what Yobst reminded me of. Just kind of came out of nowhere. You knew who he was, but you didn't know how good he was.
Who do you compare him to on the Islanders, like, right now? Like, what player? I feel like he's a little bit of, like, a Beauvillier. Like, hustles, like, got skill, can score. Like, Beauvillier might watch himself in the next year or so.
I wanted like, to say Tanner Fritz.
He's better than Tanner Fritz, maybe not right now, but like his ceiling, you could tell he's going to be better.
Yeah, that's the thing is when I saw him, the guy that he made me think of was Tanner Fritz, but he's better than Tanner Fritz.
Yeah, I feel like he's a Beauvillier, like somewhere in between.
I see him more of a Casey myself.
Really?
Yeah, that I think, you know why? Because he's got a motor. Like he.
Yeah, but Beauvillier has a motor.
Yeah. He does, but the difference is that Beauvillier's motor is... He doesn't always win the puck.
Disappears for 2 weeks.
Like when was like okay?
Two weeks, 3 months.
The first game that where Yobst had the OT winner, and I think it was against Philly, and he bodied the guy, took the puck from his own end, came down, and then finished the rebound from Lee. Like when does Bovey do that? Bovey's a good finisher, but he doesn't like win the puck and then get back
involved. All right, or not.
I like Bo on the board. I think Bo is really good on the board.
Yeah, no, like all right, not that whole play in sequence where you can see it from start to finish, where it's real obvious. Like he's really good on the boards. Look, he takes the puck and then they score. Like Beauvillier does that a lot. He is a beast along the boards. Like it just might not turn into a goal because he'll miss himself, be snake or playing with Komarov and like somewhere else where it's like, okay, you're not really a scoring role at that point. You know, you're kind of like, that's what we discussed with Beauvillier. It's like, what is he good at? Is he going to be a scorer or is he going to be a guy who's good defensively? Because you could put him on the third line. Well, you can't put Hosang on the third line because he sucks. So listen, that's a good problem to have, having a guy who's somewhere in between Fritz and Beauvillier as your first year at camp playing against professional guys. That's a win. Having a guy in Bridgeport like that.
1,000%.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see what he does with for a full season in the AHL.
Yeah.
So next night we play the Red Pants, New York Rangers, the 24th. I'll lose that one 3-1. I thought that was probably their worst game of the preseason. So the roster, we had Letty, Pellick, Pulock, Eberle, Brassard, Fritz, Bailey, Barzell, Beauvillier, Mayfield, Taves, Hosang, Lee, Nelson, Johnston, Dobson, Bardreau, Wahlstrom, Greiss, and Gibson. Now, I named most of the Islanders starters here, and for them to play the game they played, just so shots ended up being 30-30, but there was one stat that just blew my mind after the game, and that was that the Isles got absolutely murdered on faceoffs. They lost 63.2 to 36.8. I mean, it was just garbage. Their power play went 0-for-4. PK looked good.
The stat that the Islanders were going to get murdered on, though, wouldn't it be faceoffs?
Yeah, and that's what's upsetting is that it's the same, you know,
kind of.
So Rangers jump up 1-0. Kravtsov opens the scoring. First period was scoreless, but he opens up the scoring in the second period from Brady Shea and Jacob Trouba. Shea carries puck in, kind of, you know, gets positioning outside on Eberle, dishes the puck across the slot to an open Kravtsov. He buries it. Rangers get another goal. The Breadman finishes a pretty passing play from Buchnevich. I thought that Panarin's line all night made the Islanders look stupid in their own zone. They were just playing with them. I'm honest. I mean, I know it's preseason, but they were playing with the Isles. So Buchnevich passes it over to Panarin. He fires home a one-timer. I thought they were dynamic all night in the offensive zone, the Rangers. Eberle stays hot. He cuts the lead in half, makes it 2-1. I mean, again, what can you say about Matt Barzell? He's behind the net. He makes a beautiful backhand pass right to Eberle's tape. Eberle goes bar down. And they finally beat Georgiev. And then Panarin gets a second of the night, hits an empty netter. Barzi's trying to enter the zone. He gets stripped, and then Panarin doesn't miss. So, yeah, so my notes on this game were basically, was that our worst game of the preseason, and now we can talk about what I think eventually got Josh Hosang waived, and that was his decision-making. And, Ben, I want to say I texted you or I tweeted out, I can't remember, but we were talking about it, that I said after the second time he was on the power play, Hosang, I said, okay, I'm done. I'm done with him on the power play. I thought his decision-making was terrible, but I know you have a different opinion on it.
I wanted to give him more time. I thought it was harsh. I thought that the first few games in the preseason, he was one of the better players. Granted, it was with worse players and against worse players for the most part. He also played, I think, in the first few games with what you would call the B team of Bridgeport and prospects. But I thought it was a little bit harsh. I thought, I mean, sure, like bad decision making, 100% agree with you, but is decision-making in the offensive zone what we don't like Hosang for? Because everyone knows that he is great in the offensive zone and is great with the puck at his stick and has great vision and that kind of thing. The issues are defensive, and I thought that defensively he played really solid hockey games. And listen, as a fan of entertainment, obviously, you want guys to be good going forward, but he said it in the interview himself that defense is not what he thinks about first, but it's what the coaches want, and it's what I think that he's been providing pretty well. So I think that was he bad on the power play? Yes, he was abysmal. But I thought that it was harsh to make like a sweeping statement about that. I don't know. That was just me, just because I think that he was clearly focusing on other parts of his game and entertaining what the coaches wanted him to entertain. And I thought that part of his game, he played really well this preseason. So I think it was a bit harsh, but
I just, maybe. I'll just give a couple like quick little tidbit. I just don't think it's a fit. I mean, maybe with Doug Weight and Capuano even, but with Trotz, it's just, you know how he plays in Lamoriello. It's like their whole philosophy is just not Josh Hosang-esque at all. So, like, the only way for Josh Hosang to come in here is, especially, like, with this being his last shot, it just, honestly, in hindsight, like, it just wasn't going to happen. He would have to have a point a game.
Yeah.
Be doing some epic stuff, like, solo mission stuff, not team-related. Like, we don't have the power play where it's, like, he's going to like snap a pass across to a guy who's going to score. Then it's like, he gets an assist and it's, you know, where like 90% of the other guys on the team could have made that pass too, but he gets a point. It looks better on the score sheet. It just wasn't going to happen. Like him being adequate defensively is not good enough because he needs to be exceptional to make this team in every possible way. He needed to figure out the defensive side of the puck like
for
2
years
ago to make this team without scoring a point a game in the preseason to make it. Like if 2 years ago he only scored 3 points in the preseason but was responsible defensively, he would have gotten a chance. But now it's like you have to play flawless and get a point a game and somehow like do something magical when you have guys like Dobson and Wahlstrom and Yost. And it's just this isn't the team where he's going to do it. Could he go to Tampa and play on a third line with like 3 studs and put up a point a game? Maybe. I just don't see it happening. I don't even think he gets picked up on waivers. That's just my point of view. I'm off the train. Like it's just not going to happen. Like
the odds were definitely stacked against him. I mean, that's not me blaming one side or the other. It's just
he ran out of time.
It wasn't going to work out.
He ran out of time.
But guys,
he ran out of time, and it was hard. You know.
No, see, but here's the thing. Because I feel like everybody makes excuses for this kid, right? He was on the power play unit for this game. He was playing with Nelson.
The team's worst game,
and
though.
Dude, I was there. He was playing with Bailey, and he was playing with Nelson.
Okay, but hold on. Like okay,
he
hold
didn't
on.
Create
he
anything. The whole – all like he had a couple of good plays.
Even if Butterbuck played with Bailey and Nelson,
Hang on. He had a couple of good plays, okay? The very beginning of camp and the first game he played. Other than that, he's basically been invisible.
I'm not
so
making this
adequate defense is not good enough, like you
I
said,
agree.
Kenny. Yeah. And he's not creating anything. But whether or not he tried hard or he's flashy means nothing.
You can't judge this power play. It's not like, okay, we're going to – this isn't like an established power play where it's like, let's see if Hosang can hang with these guys, and then they're going to trot out four studs, and then Hosang's going to play one of the spots that he's fighting for. Let's see how he does. Like, dude, even when the Islanders start their five best players on the power play, they might not score a goal for three games in a row. So it's hard for me to be like, this guy didn't do anything on the Islanders power play in this one game where they unanimously, we're all agree, they had their worst preseason game. It's like, okay, like if he was in there in their best preseason game when they scored two power play goals, that still wouldn't have been enough. Like him getting 2 points in the power play there. Like it just didn't matter. That's why I'm saying like, yeah. And I'm not making excuses for him. Like this is his fault. Like he just, it didn't work out. Like it's just not going to work out here. Like best case scenario, you still have Trotz as your coach. He's a defensive coach. He doesn't need a guy like that. The Islanders don't win games by the way Josh Hosang plays. They lose games when their structure falls apart. They don't have the skill to do this up and down risky play. They're not Tampa. They're not Washington or Pittsburgh. Like they're just different.
Yeah, like,
Sorry, go for it.
I was just gonna say I don't think it was that they didn't score or that like yeah the whole team played bad minus a few guys and we'll talk about Wahlstrom next because I thought he was one of the better forwards but it wasn't that they weren't producing on the power play it was that they weren't producing in many from because Josh of Hosang him was turning the puck over
okay like, all right that's fair then in. Yeah, you know no, listen, if he's the reason why it's like falling apart, then of course it's obvious. But if he's snapping it around and the power play is just not scoring, it is what it is. Like,
for 100%, you know, 100% agree. Yeah. Absolutely. But like, he's giving the puck up on the blue line. He doesn't know where to dish the puck. His decisions are slow. And then the Rangers are just putting a little pressure on him and clearing the puck. And it's like, come on, man. Like, you know, how old are you now? Like, it's time, you know? It's
just that's why he's not getting claimed.
Exactly.
The other teams see this stuff too. He's not getting claimed.
I think he will.
I think he will too.
He's gonna go play next to McDavid or something and put up 80 points, but still have a negative plus minus.
And if that happens, that's not because Edmonton knows anything. They're clueless. They would take a you know that doesn't that's like
right, a better at shot. At the end of the day, if a guy scores 8 points for you.
He's not going to – listen, Edmonton can't figure anything out. If they go and grab Hosang off waivers and he gets 80 points, then I'll give you $100, like, just because that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen, dude. Like, they trade away guys like that. Like, they just – that'll be the first time anything ever worked out in Edmonton, if that happens.
That could be a quote that gets close – that gets in consideration for a title. Edmonton don't get guys like that. They trade guys like that.
Yeah. That'd be good on a T-shirt on the No Men Outfitters website.
You just have Shirelli's face and then, like – Barzal and Mobilier on the side.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about Ollie Wahlstrom because let's go from something that makes me sad to something that makes me happy. I thought Wahlstrom played phenomenal that game. He didn't score, but this kid was involved. And again, what's been the theme all camp, he's taking shots from everywhere. He's in front of the net. He was mucking it up. He was just involved. And I thought that was probably his best game from the prospect game all the way to the end of camp. I thought that was his best game.
For sure. I was there live, and he was the only time the Islanders generated any kind of anything sustained in the offensive zone. It was him carrying the puck, making a play, shooting the puck from everywhere, and not just shooting it from everywhere into the chest like half our team does. They just shoot it right to the logo.
He was putting it at the pads.
You know, every time a guy takes a shot in the NHL, it's not to score. Okay. You shoot it in certain positions for certain rebounds. And this kid has that. He's a gamer. Like he creates things. He had probably one of the best camps. And listen, that's why I was so pessimistic last week about these kids is because like they would have to be doing some crazy stuff to make the team. So just because Wahlstrom didn't make it doesn't mean he didn't have a good camp. It's just this is what the Islanders are. They had 103 points. They're not going to start throwing rookies into the mix when we have a proven, you know, squad that can win right now, plus have rookies. Like this kid is the first call up away, you know, obviously ahead of Yost. He's legit, definitely as legit can be. Yeah, I mean, Damon's right. The kid had probably the best game of the preseason and is probably one of our best, is our top prospect behind Dobson, who we'll get to.
How did none of us, I mean, I'm giving it away a little bit, but how did none of us pick him for our best performer of the?
Yeah, I don't think he was the best performer. I think he was good. I'd put him in the top third of Isles, but I wouldn't say he was the best.
Would you put him fourth after the three that we had?
Yeah, maybe.
That's not to say what three yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. So let's finish up the recaps. Final preseason game was Friday the 28th against the Rangers again. That one was out in Bridgeport. Ben was in attendance for that one. Isles win 4-2. The lineup pretty close to an NHL lineup here. We had Bailey, Barzal, Beauvillier, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Dalcol, Eberle, Komarov, Lee, Martin, Nelson, Semyon Varlamov, Thomas Greiss, Boychuk, Letty, Mayfield, Pellick, Pollock, and Taves. So it was pretty close to an NHL lineup. Pretty much exactly what we're going to have, maybe minus a few changes for opening night. But again, Rangers jump out, 1-0 lead. Nemestikov gets a pass from Anderson. I thought it was kind of scrambly coverage down low, a little bit of a bouncing puck and a broken play, but I think the Isles coverage could have been tighter. Isles tied up. Letty had a real nice play, led with some speed. It was a power play goal. He led the rush, kind of comes down basically coast to coast, gets a shot on, I believe Georgiev was in net that game too. Dalcol bangs in the rebound, and it's tied up. Bailey gets another power play goal right after that. Blast in a rebound. Eberle had the shot, bounces over to Bailey, and pretty good hand-eye coordination. Puck was kind of bouncing. He was at the top of the circle, and he just, you know, laser beam into the net. Rangers tied up off of Tony D'Angelo Rister. After that, he gets completely demolished by Matt Martin. I've never seen that. Was such a hard, heavy hit. D'Angelo was shaken up after that. He got the goal. I thought it was a weak goal by Greiss. He should have stopped that one. It was just a wrist shot.
Walked right into the slot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a bad angle. So
yeah.
I'm defending Greiss here, but
yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't a bad goal, like by any means, right?
I mean,
a bad goal is, I mean, like,
it wasn't a
slot unmolested and just rips one, dude. Like, I could score from there. Okay. Yeah. You're, yeah. Okay. Well, Damon, you know what?
Do you look like Tony D'Angelo also, or just
Tony D'Angelo up?
Yeah, look him up. While I finish.
Watch the game. All right, relax. He's a rat.
I'll take the lead. Ryan Pollock with a beautiful pass to Matt Barzal, who's kind of moving away from the net, and in one motion, he kind of scoops up the pass and releases it quick. Catches Georgiev out of position. Real nice shot. Isles take a 3-2 lead, and then Pollock finishes.
Damon, I made a mental note of that. On that power play, when they were passing it around, I was about to start. I was like, after this play's over, I got to text you guys. Like, the chemistry on this power, I was like, it's starting to, you know, get somewhere. And that goal was right in front of me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was a great shot. And it was I think it was a great shot, but I honestly think it was a better pass because it was right where it needed to be. Barzal couldn't get that off if Pollock doesn't put it right on the tape, and that's exactly what he did. Great. Yeah, and Pollock, and it goes to show. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can continue. I just want to mention something after about the power play after.
Yeah. So, Pellick finishes with an empty netter. Scary moment. Casey collides with, I think Kravtsov was in there. They both got hurt. Casey didn't put any weight on his leg. After the game, Trotz said he was fine, but Casey, you know, just doing what Casey does, you know, diving for the puck and just kind of an awkward collision right at the end of the game. That was a little scary. My question to you guys, and then Kenny, we can get into the power play here. Mm-hmm. What do you think Brendan Lemieux did to the Islanders that game? Because this team wanted to absolutely murder him. And I was kind of, I know it's preseason, but I was kind of surprised that, like, he got under the skin of the vets. And I actually put a poll up on Twitter and asked, and I said, what do you think that he did to piss off the fourth line specifically? And I said, did he go and dye his hair from the Matt Martin line, go dye your hair? Did he taunt Clutterbuck with a razor? Because Clutter used to have such a beautiful stash. Or did he get the last jar of dirt at Belmont?
I don't know. I was watching that game closely. I mean, Lemieux's kind of a, you know, I don't know. That whole lineup the Rangers played, it's like I'm kind of like getting off track here, but that was like a really young lineup, and the Islanders kind of had their vets in. So it's like, were the Islanders playing down to their level, or were the Rangers playing up to their, like, the Islanders level? It was just a weird game, even though the Islanders won, but I feel like that was like the Islanders' fourth line kind of showing the Rangers' quote-unquote fourth line with Haley and Lemieux and those guys that, you know, they're not going to take any crap. Like, this is big boy hockey, and I don't know what he did, but they were going at it after each whistle, and, you know, you don't really want to mess with those two guys. Yeah, it was a little bit too intense. Like, I don't need to get out there. I don't want people getting hurt out there, you know? I didn't really like it. I feel like they scored that goal because they get revenge on everybody. Like, they were over committing on body checks, like, all over the place. That's what led to that goal, which, whatever.
Yeah, well, like, Martin went, like, end over end over somebody he was trying to hit. I don't know if
that,
it was Lemieux. I think it was Lemieux, right? No, yeah, I mean.
You're right. That was it. That's what he did. He low-bred it.
Lemieux, I mean, they just look silly. They look kind of silly out there. Like, I'm like, are we playing hockey here? Or are we just going to, like, you know, kill this
Which kid? I didn't like it. Yeah, well, he low-bridged him. That's what I honestly was trying to think of the moment, and then you mentioned it, and that was it. Like, Martin had him lined up. He kind of went down low to avoid it, which, hey, listen, if I'm Lemieux, I'm doing the same thing. If a guy's trying to take my head off, I don't care what happens. Like, good luck to you. But, you know, obviously they took exception to that. They started running around being stupid. And yeah, they got, you know, Martin laid out D'Angelo, but they still scored. So let's, you know, what, it's preseason. Who cares? If that was a regular game, I feel like if that happened, Trotz would be like livid, but they're smart enough to know when to turn that on and off. I think that was just more of like a, we don't care what happens here. We're going to, you know, make you guys feel it. So, you know, come whenever their first game is, you know what's up. Because the Rangers have, you know, the Rangers are, have a lot of guys, like, fighting for jobs, you know? So they're going out there going hard, too. You know, Haley, Lemieux, these guys are trying to make names for themselves, trying to make roster spots. So that's why it felt like such an intense game. Which,
well,
you know,
Brendan Lemieux plays just like his dad. I didn't know that his dad.
It's not his dad. Lemieux. It's not his dad.
No, not Mario. Claude Lemieux is his dad.
I don't think so.
I thought he was.
I don't think it is. I think it's his, like, I remember hearing that it's not him. I think it's like his brother-in-law or not at all. Or I might be completely wrong, but I know, I don't think there's something ringing in my head that says that it's not his dad. They're not, they might be related, but it's not his dad.
Guys, when did this become the Brendan Lemieux?
He's the son. He's the son of former NHL right winger Claude.
Really? Okay, there's another guy in the NHL. There's another guy in the NHL who has the same last name as someone.
Yeah, there's another Lemieux.
And it's not him. It might not be Lemieux. It might be another guy whose dad played, but okay, I suck. Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I want to get Ben's take on it because Ben was at the game. But before, right before that, I will just say this one thing. I know it was we were playing, you know, Ranger scrubs and all that, but I just felt like we looked really slow, and it was a very frustrating game for me because we should have stomped them out the whole game.
Yeah. Well, that's Islanders hockey. Like, we're going to win games like that. Like, it's just like, even though we should win, we still win ugly, close. Like, we win close games. We don't dumb, like, we don't beat up on teams. Except, you know, like, this is not how we do it. Like, maybe this year, like, my predictions, like, Eberle 30. You know what? Nelson should get 32. Lee should get 30. We should have a bunch. We should have like 4 30 goal scorers. If everything works out, Barzal, Lee, Nelson, Eberle, or maybe Bailey's not getting 30, but we have guys that can score on this team. And every, you know, if everyone chips in, then
it'd be more realistic to get
teams 5-2. But we're going to win a lot of 3-2 games. That's just how it is.
I feel like it would be more realistic to look at like Eberle as a 30 goal scorer, and then you have like the whole team on 20. Like, you could see Barzal 20, Beauvillier 20, Nelson 20, Lee 20, maybe even Brassard 20, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you really think the first line's going to get 90 goals? You think Barzal, Eberle, and Lee are all going to get 30?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's only, I mean, it's one puck. You know?
Yeah, if they stay together, yeah, I guess, yeah. I guess if that's the line and they stay together
but you
forever.
Could see 70.
Yeah, I could see 70. I could see 70. I think Barzal's going to get his – I think he's going to get back to his 85. I think he might even hit 90 points this year. I think a majority of that's going to be assists. I think Eberle and Lee are just going to clean up his passes all day long. That line has played – what did they play? Did they play 5 games together? 4 or 5 games together in the preseason? I mean, Trotz just wants them to gel right away.
For sure.
And they really have looked good. I mean, they've been on the ice for a few goals, and I think they could be a little better defensively, but they're scoring. They're scoring goals.
And Damon, you were talking about the entry on the – you were talking about the Lemieux goal, or was it – no, the D'Angelo goal. Just talking about how everyone was hitting Lemieux. So he's in my head. But to me, what stuck out was – you said it a few podcasts ago, that was unintentional, that there's this stat that the Islanders are really bad at puck retrieval. And that stuck out to me. It looked like the forecheck was not just – because the Islanders, even though they don't get the puck a lot, don't come out with the puck a lot, their forecheck is always organized and it's fast. And if they win it, they win it and make something out of it. And if they lose it, they – get back in position really quickly. To me, that's one of their biggest strengths. But today it was slow. It was a slow forecheck. It was unorganized. One person would forecheck and it would be an easy out and there would be room, so much room on the ice to get up through the out of the offense, out of the defensive zone or the Islanders offensive zone, through the neutral zone and into the offensive zone with no problem at all. I'm not sure whether that was the overzealousness of hitting or slow or, you know, thinking about the regular season or that kind of thing. But that was one of the things that stuck out to me right away was just how unorganized the forecheck was, which is so un-Islanders.
Yeah. They were chasing. I thought they were chasing the puck all game. All for game. Sure. And that's what was disappointing to me. And that made me look, it's preseason. I get it. But
yeah, it's
preseason. Scary.
Like, as much as we have a podcast. Yeah, no, I know. I get it. It's like, now that we have a podcast, like, I've never paid attention to preseason. Like, I'm like, we're like breaking games down like it's regular season. But it's like, you know what? Like, I don't really it is fine. Like, if the Islanders have one of those teams where if, like, one guy on defense is missing and one guy on offense that's semi-okay is missing, our whole team, like, sucks. Like, everyone just like plays their role. We don't have, like, it's like the Rangers where if they dress Panarin and, like, Zibanejad, but they don't dress like two of their random guys. Like, it's still like a good lineup because they have like superstars. Not saying Zibanejad is a superstar, but Panarin is like a superstar. We don't really have a scorer like that. So when one or two guys are missing on our team, it means a lot more than some other teams, I feel like. So
I'm not sure I agree. I think I don't know. The opposite, honestly.
So do I. It's our biggest strength, but also like in a one game situation where you're like judging a team and how they did, it does mean a lot. Like, I feel like if you're just judging it on like one preseason game as opposed to like across the whole entire season.
Well, I'd put it the opposite way. I'd say it instead. If Panarin's missing, the Rangers are screwed. If Lee is missing, you know, you fill in and, you know, Beauvillier will play there, and then you'll put in Kunockel on the third line, and the identity is still there. The core of the Islanders are still there.
Yeah. When it's regular season effort, though, like when it's preseason effort with the way that we're lined up, it's just like you might get like half-ass effort by these guys, and I feel like that's kind of happening.
I don't buy that because here's what I don't buy. These guys were intense that game, like this game. They were trying to kill Brendan Lemieux all game. They were running around throwing the body around. So you can't say it's just preseason. So
yeah, it's just a fourth line, though.
But I think that's more because it's the Rangers.
It was just a fourth line, really.
I felt the Rangers. I mean, being there, there was definitely that Rangers-Islanders feel. It was my first Rangers-Islanders game. And I definitely got that vibe. As much as, you know, obviously in a regular season game, again, so excited for those Rangers-Islanders games to be at the Barn.
They're going to be intense this year.
It's going to be so intense, especially at the Barn. But you got that vibe, at least in some instances.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So, I mean, I thought overall we had a – look, they won 5 out of 7 games, so you can't really say much. I thought there were some good standouts. That
I've never
kind
been more
of,
critical of a 5-2 preseason.
Well, right? It's not critical. I mean, look, we're breaking down the games, right? Yeah, so I still think we'll be fine. That game was more of how the Islanders could look when they're having an off game, and it's like all their flaws are kind of glaring. So that was, but
guys,
so
kind of Nick so, Leddy, star of the game, amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also looked good. He's looked
the
good.
Opposite of the star of the game, worst performer was Devin Toews. He gave the puck away like 4 times in like the defensive zone. Was not his game.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked a little off that game.
Until I see him have as many bad games as Letty has, then I'll get on him. So, like, he's a pass in my – but, like, listen, Letty has been great. He's had a great preseason. Maybe this power play – like, listen, they obviously kind of fixed his terrible plus-minus last season. If he can improve as much as he did from, like, fixing his plus-minus as he did as he does, like, on the power play, then, you know, I'll backtrack and say that I was maybe wrong, but – he's had a great preseason. Let's just carry this over until meaningful games, because if he's tails off, then it's just like, well, what's happening here? You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay. So that brings us to today. We're recording on the 30th. The Islanders haven't announced their final roster, but they announced some waiver moves today. Some a little bit more surprising than others, but Josh Hosang, Thomas Hickey, and Tanner Fritz were all placed on waivers. And we kind of alluded to it today. If we think that Hosang is going to get picked up, I think Hosang is, I think he's gone. I think somebody's grabbing him.
He'll still be there. He'll be in Bridgeport. That's my opinion on it. I don't, there's nothing else. We kind of really broke it down. I still think he'll be here. I'm more surprised about Hickey, which we'll get into.
Yeah. Well, no, let's, I mean, hey, this is a good time to jump into it. So Hickey being waived basically means, you know, the writing's on the wall. Noah Dobson made the team.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy. I mean, them waving him and Fritz, considering the first week of preseason, they're like, we were all worried that Fritz is going to block a spot for one of these kids. Them waving him and Hickey says a lot. Like, the Islanders had a great defense last year, and Hickey was still, you know, flopping around out there. So you replace him with a guy who's 6'4", 200-plus pounds, skates like Dobson does with the upside. Obviously, our defense just got 100 times better, and we already had a big mobile defense. So it's like we just—it's beautiful to them for them to do that with a guy who's under contract. It's like, you know, he was the guy that had to realistically go. It wasn't going to be Letty with the contract and his upside, but Hickey just—it was past him. The game passed him. It was obvious.
Are you surprised that we didn't? We weren't able to trade Hickey or Hosang.
No. What are you going to trade? Surprised? Dude, Hickey's not even going to get picked up.
But he's only a $2.5 million cap hit. Don't you think that somebody would – I'm too undersized.
He has no foot speed. It's just
– I'm 50-50.
He's just not good enough.
Well, but it says – I mean, it says all you need to know about
– But other teams have prospects too, so why would they want to block him with a guy like Hickey? Why would they want to block their prospects with a guy like Hickey just like we are? You know, every other team has a guy like Dobson. You know, maybe not that high caliber, but a guy who's, like, ready to go.
But they gotta give a chance. We're the number one – we were the number one defensive team last year. That's why Hickey had no room. There are teams that are struggling with getting defenders. I'm just surprised that
Hickey could be a bottom three defenseman on 20 teams in the NHL.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
And he can be a scratch pad defenseman on 30 teams on the
end. You know who I could picture him on? Ready? The Devils are going to pick him up. That's who I think picks up Hickey. Yeah, I can picture him on the Devils.
Devils D isn't great. There's another team I'm thinking of too. I mean, the Hawks maybe. I mean, I think somebody grabs him. I think someone grabs him.
Someone's going to grab Hickey, but no one's going to grab Hosang.
We'll see. We'll know by tomorrow, right?
We're talking about Hickey and also Dobson making the team. And you on Twitter, you see, or even just in the news, you see all the things that Lou and Barry and all the guys are saying about Letty and, you know, what a great guy he was and what a great player he is and how hard it was to waive him. And to me, that says all you need to know about Noah Dobson, because it's not like the Islanders cut a really bad player. That's just not the case. Hickey, we just said it. He can play on almost any team in the NHL, or at least be on their roster. And so it says all you need to know about Dobson, because the Islanders had a squad where a prospect, someone who wasn't on the team last year, a prospect would have needed to turn over to, you know, I don't know what metaphor I'm looking for right now, but would have needed to lift mountains, if that's something like that?
Move mountains?
Move mountains. I don't know why my mind is screwed up right now. Move mountains to make the team. And Oliver Wahlstrom almost moves mountains to make the team. Noah Dobson did, like 100% move mountains to make this team, and it shows all you need to know about him, that he made it over Hickey.
Yes, to a point. Dobson also benefited tremendously from not having the AHL as an option. Because if he could play in the AHL, 1,000% he's in the AHL starting the season. Not because he didn't play well, but because they would be an asset with Hickey in the contract. Yeah, the same reason for Wahlstrom. I mean, what did Lamoriello said about Wahlstrom? He said he showed a lot in his last preseason game and that he's close, but he's going to start in Bridgeport. He would have been saying the same thing about Dobson, too.
Dobson would have been the first defensive call-up.
Absolutely.
Wahlstrom.
A la Devon Taves last year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, and you're right, because it also would have affected Hickey's trade value. In that case, we would have been able to trade Hickey because there wouldn't have been a guarantee that he's not making the roster.
Right.
Because you know that Dobson's here or juniors, which means that Hickey's the odd one out. Mm-hmm. If Dobson's in the AHL, then you can see Hickey making the roster, meaning that he has trade value.
Right, right. So now with these waiver moves, the roster's a little clearer. Looks like Wahlstrom close, but he'll be in Bridgeport. Holmstrom and Wild, they still have to assign. I see Wild going to Bridgeport. Holmstrom, they're not sure if he's going back to Europe or if he's going to stay in Bridgeport. He wants to stay in North America. I think it would be great if all of Wahlstrom, Holmstrom, Wild were all in Bridgeport. And while I'm talking about Wild, he had a high ankle sprain. That's why he missed all of camp. And I just want to give another plug to The Athletic because I love it. And they did a phenomenal article on Bodie Wild. It's a video article, so it breaks down. There's got to be 30 to 35 plays. And it talks about Bodie Wild and risk versus reward and how he's such a dynamic player. And it shows like his foot speed, his inside out ability, how he kind of, you know, he's really, really smart with his one timers. If you have an Athletic subscription, you have to look at this. It also shows some of the flaws in his game. He's not the greatest when it comes to decision making. And that has me a little bit worried about how he's going to break into this defensive lineup. But man, he is an offensive powerhouse. And it was a phenomenal article. And again, that Scott Wheeler did it. He did one last year on Oliver Wahlstrom that got me totally pumped for that pick. And this year he did Bodie Wild. So check that out. As far as Holmstrom goes, I don't know if you guys saw, but Arthur Staple asked all the veterans which rookie stood out most to them in camp, and the majority of votes went to Holmstrom. I couldn't believe
it. Really? Yeah. I didn't
see. Yep.
I really hope he stays in North America. I think it's great. I mean, after all the idea of, you know, who after the Islanders drafted him and then going back to Europe and no one knowing who he was and being injured and being almost late to camp. I forget whether he missed the first couple skates, but
yeah, he missed a week because he blocked a shot before he came over. So he played a couple of games. He looked like he was
after all those injuries. It's great to see him, you know, fighting for a place in Bridgeport. And like you said, it would be great to see him there. It would be great to see Wild in Bridgeport. I'm despite his injury, really surprised that he hasn't already been assigned to Bridgeport. I feel like similarly to Dobson, he has nothing more to prove. I believe he was in the OHL.
Yeah, he played for Saginaw.
He's nothing more to prove there. Put him in Bridgeport. I mean, he was, I don't know his stats. I don't know them off the top of my head, but
I want to say he had like 70 points or something, Ben. He had incredible season.
What else is he going to do there? Just bring him to Bridgeport.
Yep.
See what he can do. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I doubt that a high ankle sprain is going to be a career altering injury. No,
of course not. They're being cautious. Yeah.
So I don't think that he's going to come out of this like he's not going to be worse than he was before the injury. So there's no explanation to why he wouldn't be in Bridgeport.
I just think because they don't have to assign him yet. So why do it? He's injured. So I think that's the only reason why. And then another giving us a little bit more roster clarity. Lamoriello said that Ladd's probably going to be on long-term IR until around Thanksgiving. So We've got 2 months without Ladd, and I don't know if that's them just being, quote-unquote, I'm doing air quotes, super cautious, or just needing the roster space and saying, hey, just chill, because, you know, maybe he's trying to move him or something. I don't know. But that we don't have to think about Andrew Ladd until Thanksgiving. So that pretty much gives us a good idea of who the seven defensemen are going to be. You've got Letty, you've got Boychuk, you've got Dobson, you've got Pelech, you've got Pulak, you've got Taves, and you've got, who am I forgetting?
Mayfield. Up,
boys. Yes. Thank you. Scotty Mayfield.
I love
so there's your seven. There's your seven.
I love it so much.
I love it so much.
Yeah. And then your two extra forwards are going to end up being Ross, the Boss, and Kunackel, is what it seems.
I know that Posehn did not prove making this lineup, but
don't do can this someone right explain now. To I'm me why we, you. I'm
can someone explain
you.
Why we need two goons?
Well, Kunackel's not a goon.
No, I'm talking about Martin and Johnston.
Oh, hold on. You wanted Posehn to go over Kunackel, Martin, or Johnston?
No, over Johnston. I wanted
you
the
can't
two
you what
saying and Kunal.
No, oh my God, no.
Why not?
You can't, dude. Johnston plays a role on this team that Martin he can't even do. Like right, Martin can't beat up Haley. Like you Martin have to have. You cannot have Josh Hosang sitting in the press box eating pretzels, Instagramming and Snapchatting himself. You know. And looking injured. Over his videos of giving away pass on the power play for weeks at a time while guys are healthy. Like Ross Johnston goes in there against a team that has some guy who wants to be stupid, and you just put Ross Johnston in the lineup. And honestly, he's not even that bad of a hockey player. Like for a guy on a fourth line, he's like not even that bad.
He doesn't Kunackel, play like 11 minutes a night.
Kunackel is you can't have any guy who's going to be part of your top six sitting in the press box over Kunackel. I know Kunackel is not like part of the future, but like he's a guy who like can play. He can jump in at any moment and not hurt your team completely. Like he's not going to win a game, but he's not going to lose a game for you either. So he plays a role. Like I can't hear like Hosang over any one of these guys. Like everyone plays their role. Hockey's not an individual sport, and that's why Hosang didn't make this team.
Especially so, in this team, hockey's not individual.
With this team, yeah, this team's like whole concept, and like, Ross Johnston plays a big role on this team, just like Bolton did. Like that's why he stuck around for so long. You have to have a guy in your team that can beat up everybody at any moment. Like you think Michael Haley is gonna want to fight Ross Johnston again? I mean, that was brutal.
Yeah,
that was.
I've never seen Ross. I asked on Twitter who could take Ross Johnston in a
Reeves.
Fight. I'm
that's
thinking
it.
Maybe Reeves. Right,
that's
the only
it.
One.
That's
so
it.
You guys kind of stepped into this, and it's a perfect transition. I took two quotes. I took Lou Lamoriello from today. And I took Barry Trotz at the end of the season, and it sounds like you guys are kind of each representing one of them. So Lou Lamoriello at the end of today when he announced the waivers, he said, "I'm one who doesn't worry about scoring. All I worry about is goal differential. If we score two goals every night and give up one, I'm not worried about scoring." Barry Trotz, the end of last season, flat out said, "We need more offensive punch." So are these two at odds with philosophy?
Nah, I don't think they have. I don't know if they're at odds. I mean, Trotz could say that same exact statement while expecting more from the players he already has that didn't have great offensive seasons. You know, like Lee had a down year. Eberle had a down year. Nelson. I think all these guys could score at least 5 to 10 goals more. Maybe not all of them at once, but. We had some missing goals for, I think, even with the squad we already had. You know, yeah, we didn't add Panarin, but we're going to have – I bet you we have more goals for this year by 20 than we did last year. Just based on, like, everyone knowing the system and everyone being comfortable, new contracts, like, everything.
Better power play.
Better power play. Like, we're going to score 20 goals more.
Yeah. Now, going back, I'm kind of – you know, I'm kind of with Kenny on this. I think you need to have Ross in the lineup. I could see – Kunackel, I could see Hosang or no, let me back up. I could see a dynamic prospect a la Wahlstrom, Hosang, Yob Steven over Kunackle. I can't see it over Johnson just because of the size that Johnson has. And sometimes, look, we got lucky last year with injuries. We're not going to be lucky this year. If Martin goes down or Clutterbuck goes down or one of those guys, you need some beef in your lineup. And I think you got to keep Ross around, especially he's $1 million. Like, he's nothing on the cap.
He's not a bad hockey player.
Damon, I have a proposition for you. You've been raving about Wahlstrom and how much you wanted him to make the team and how he deserved to make the team throughout, you know, our text conversations, Twitter, and the podcasts.
Yeah.
So do you want to make an argument for why he should be on the team over one of the players that we're assuming makes the team? Or do you think that he was a victim.
I'll tell you what I did. I said
he had to beat Dahl Call. That was it.
I said I can't wait for the day when the Islanders make a decision on making the team better, not because of contract situations, but who's the better player. In my mind, Wahlstrom is a better player than Kunackle. Wahlstrom is a better player than Johnston. Wahlstrom is a better player than Dahl Cole. He's a better player than Hosang.
Kunackle's not a top six forward. Wahlstrom's a top six forward.
Okay, but Wahlstrom.
That's why Wahlstrom can't sit in the press box for 20 games in a row, and Kunackle
because,
can.
Because, Damon, what I'm saying is that the same argument that you're making against Hosang in terms of not against Hosang, but for guys like Johnston and Kunackle that they play roles, where, sure, Wahlstrom plays a great role. He's a great scorer, and you know we've talked about it at length, and obviously Hosang plays a role as well, different one, and I would agree not as good a role so far as Wahlstrom, but it's the same argument that you don't have a top six forward on the scratch pad, and to me the only guy that he would replace on the Islanders team is Michael Dahl Cole.
That's assuming that Dahl Cole ends up making the top six, which he might not. He might be third line.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Wahlstrom can't play third line.
You know what I mean? Like, see, I disagree.
What is your third line going to be then? Like, who are you going to put him with? Like, because then it turns into, like, okay, well, now he's playing with, like, two guys that are, like, you know, interchanging all, you know, there's probably, like, a pair. There's probably, like, four guys that are, like, in and out of the lineup. Let's say that he
Komarov with
Wahlstrom. Okay. But you even say, both you guys hate Komarov. So now you pair Wahlstrom with Komarov and Brassard. Let's say Brassard struggles for a little bit. And now all of a sudden, Wahlstrom's played 10 games and has 2 points. Is that because he sucks, or is that because he's on the third line? He has to be on the top six with Bailey or someone with skill, Nelson. He can't play on the third or fourth line. That's just – it's either he's in the top six or he's in Bridgeport. Same thing with Bellows. That's why Bellows isn't here.
Well, and that's also why I'm not crushed that Wahlstrom's in Bridgeport. I mean, let the kid play on the top line. He's going to be playing with Yobst. Like,
that's what I want. That's better than him being in the press box over Kunackle. That's, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, of course Wahlstrom's better than Kunackle, but that's not the question here. Like, that's like, I know it sounds dumb. Like, well, that should be the only question: who's better than who? But
that's not how
everyone
it works,
has a role. This is hockey. This isn't basketball. You know, this isn't basketball.
Yeah, two forward lines, two defensive lines. And the other thing is that if you look at last season, we thought that putting guys like Beauvillier on the third line and Hosang on the third line was, you know, with Filppula and Komarov was where fringe top six forwards go to die. But Beauvillier played his best hockey last year with Filppula and Komarov. And, I mean, Hosang didn't put up points, but he, you know, they did go 9-1 with him in the lineup. And I don't think he was a liability playing with Filppula and Komarov.
No, I agree. It's just I just think it's a coincidence. Not a coincidence, but
correlation is not causality, is what I think you're trying to say, right?
And Beauvillier is the only guy that would fit in on third line and not hurt, because like that's what we always say about Beauvillier. It's like he's not just a guy who scores goals. He's a guy who also can play shutdown D because he's so responsible.
I would agree for sure. I love Beauvillier's all-around game in both zones. And then that's the thing is that if Beauvillier's your third liner, that means that Dahl Cole's in the top six, which means I would rather Wahlstrom.
Well, right, but here's the thing.
And Beauvillier's on the second line, it's a different story.
Let Dahl Cole give him a shot. I thought he looked good last game. He drew two penalties. He had that goal, that power play goal. Give him a shot.
He was great.
If it's not working, then you've got Wahlstrom that can be called up. And if Wahlstrom's ripping it up in the AHL, he's going to put pressure on Dahl Cole anyway.
Yeah. So, listen, this is the perfect situation. It's a, honestly, it's the best situation because we all want to see Dal Col do well. He has the skill. He fits in well. He's done every single thing perfect, like the opposite of Hosang. Like, look at the growth that he's had. Okay, they both started the same spot almost, right? Nothing expected of him after the, like a year after they got drafted. It's like, oh, these guys are busts. And then they look at what Dal Col does. Gets himself into the lineup. He's responsible. He's always in the right position. He's got some scoring ability too. Like, who knows? If he's having a guy feed him in the slot, the guy can score. So
yeah, that was one of the notes.
Let Wallstrom beat him out. Let Wallstrom beat him out.
That I had in the I had the note at from Bridgeport is on both power plays. Dal Col was in the slot on one of them, and Bavillier was in the slot on the other one. And
yeah,
Bavillier's been in the slot a few times last year. Although more often he was the net front presence because he has a good tip, but I like him in the slot more. And I thought both of them did really well in the slot on the power play, which was, it's so weird because you're looking at the power play and 98% of the time you're thinking, oh, this is the same power play as last year. But, you know, they had two power play goals. And at the end of the day, you don't need the power play to look dangerous for 2 minutes. You need the power play to score.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think Dal Col and Bovi both have phenomenal releases and Clutterbuck is in there too. I think they've got sneaky good shots. I don't mind any of those guys being in the slot, but I love let Dal Col give him a shot. Let's see what happens. Competition's a good thing, and I'd rather have our grinders in the press box and rotate those guys out and let them beat the crap out of the opponent every night. And then when they need a rest and you know rest the body up, that's when you just swap those interchangeable parts. When Matty Martin needs a rest, you've got Ross Johnson in there. Yep. You know, when Clutterbuck needs a rest, you've got Kunackle, guys like that. That's okay. And I'd rather have Wallstrom playing the top minutes. So that hopefully that answers your question, Ben. But I think you've got the competition. It's just you've got Dal Col playing top six in the NHL. You've got Wallstrom playing top six in the AHL. And those guys are going to be battling. And I think them waving Tanner Fritz also shows that I think they've got some faith in Koivula, too. He had a great camp. We haven't really mentioned his name much, but he's ready to step in, I think, too, as a centerman. He had a good camp, and he's getting ready. So that's why we're starting to clear the decks. And there's going
to
be
the part where you want Bridgeport to start to play well.
Exactly.
You could totally see it happening. I mean, Koivula, Wallstrom, Holmstrom, Jobst, Bellows, ideally Hosang and Hickey, Wild.
Yeah. I'd love Hickey to be down there so that he could kind of show some guidance for Wild and for Aho and for Quenville.
He's a good locker room guy.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's move on to the natural hat trick before we get out of here. This is going to wrap up the preseason. We're going to talk about who we each think was the best player from camp. Kenny, we'll kick it to you first.
I'm going to go with the most obvious one. I'm going to go with Matt Barzal, which I think is the most important player that you want to see have the best training camp possible. Did have a somewhat of a down year last year, still had a bunch of points, but he should be a point a game guy. I think we all agree with that at least. And he looks like he's firing all cylinders. The guy's crazy dynamic with the puck. He literally makes like something out of nothing most of the time. And I'm sure, you know, him and Eberle and Lee, they should at least both score 30 goals, 25, 30 goals each with having a guy like Barzal dishing the puck to them and the chemistry they've had this preseason. I'm going with Matt Barzal as the best player, which I'm so happy. That's the guy you want to see play like that in the preseason. Let's just continue this to the regular season.
I'm so glad that you two picked who you picked, even though you got to pick first. So I was left with my third favorite player. But I'm so glad you guys picked who you picked because these are my two. I mean, if we're talking about offensive guys, even though I'd say Cizikas is probably my favorite, one of my favorite Islanders right now. These Barzal and Kenny, who you're gonna say, and Damon, who you're gonna say, are right now my two favorite, you know, forward producing Islanders, and I love to hear this propaganda about them. I just couldn't make me happier.
Yeah, yeah. So my guy was Eberle, and I think really it's kind of, they go hand in hand. I mean, Trotz, for him to play his top line back-to-back nights in preseason shows you that he's not messing around. He wants this line gelling. He wants them going right out of the gate. And I just thought Barzal did everything he could do all camp to create in these preseason games specifically. And Eberle just finished almost every single one. I mean, he was just involved. He had, like, I think 4 or 5 goals. He just picked up right where he left off from the Penguins series.
and the end of the season. And I think he's going to have a massive year. I really think he's going to get 30. Kenny, you kind of said it first, and the more you say it, the more I believe. And I see no reason why not. If this line, barring injuries, if this line stays together, they're, you know, look out, and they look focused. I mean, you just see it. You see the look in Barzee's eyes. You see it in Eberle's eyes. They want to get going right away, and I think they're going to be a really good first line for us. So Ebs is my guy for best player from camp.
If this podcast becomes the Jordan Eberle for 30 goals podcast, I'd love it. If we can get that propaganda going every week, and we have reason to because he shows us, because, guys, the next time we record a podcast, the regular season will have started.
Crazy. Just
throw that out there.
Can't wait. I'm going Friday.
If this can
can't
become
wait.
A legitimate Eberle 30-goal propaganda podcast, I'd love it. We might even have a name podcast.
Maybe. So, Ben, who you got for best player out of camp?
Well, my two favorites were your two. But
Ross Johnson?
He was definitely a close fourth, him and Wallstrom, just because of that fight.
That was a hell of a fight.
But to me, it was Noah Dobson, and we touched on it before when to displace a guy like Hickey says a lot. Yes, as much as Damon, you said it, that it was here are juniors. But even so, to displace a guy like Hickey, because the Islanders roster last year was, you know, a good team. I mean, we finished 103 points. And it was not because of you superstars carrying us. It was because of a team effort where literally everyone was important. I'm trying to find an odd one out, but I'm struggling. Because it was hard. Everyone, I mean, even guys who had what you'd consider down years, like Barzal, still put up, was it 60-something points?
Yeah, I think he had around 5.
And Beauvillier had almost 20 goals, and it was a down year for him. So even the guys that had down years, everyone was showing that they're, you know, NHL-caliber players. So to displace someone like Hickey that's a vet, a pro, just like, you know, your Lamoriello's quotes about not rushing someone in, to be able to earn a spot at the expense of someone like Thomas Hickey just says all you need to know about the kind of player he is, the kind of drive he has, and the kind of camp he had. He had, he had 2 assists in 4 games, and he played against Philly in the 3-2 win at home, at New Jersey in the 4-3 overtime loss, home to Detroit in the 3-2 win, and then at the Rangers in the 3-1 loss. And he did not ready. He was not responsible for a goal against.
That's unbelievable.
Wait, actually, that might not be true.
Then it really is unbelievable. I'll let you look that up, and I'll kind of
to me, what stuck out was his plus minus was 5. Plus 5.
Yeah.
He was plus 3.
That's awesome.
Plus 3 at New Jersey, plus 2 against Philly, and then 0 in the Red Wings and the Rangers games. And the other thing that stuck out was that he had his time on ice was 21:56 against New Jersey, 21:25 against Philly, 22:54 against the Red Wings, and then 15:08 at the Rangers. So that shows, I think, again, with the Rangers, he was playing with Hickey, so the odd one out.
Yeah.
So that shows, you know, I think more what Trotz thinks about Hickey.
He wasn't sheltered. He wasn't sheltered. He played good minutes. He played solid minutes.
He played totally solid minutes.
And he looked better every game. He got better and better and better. I thought he looked super comfortable on the power play. I thought he started jumping in the play and adding to the rush as he went. I mean, this kid, he is going to be a treat to see improve from game 1 to game 82 this year. Because I think we got something
shots,
special.
5 blocks. Sorry, yeah. 5 hits. 4 block shots.
He's going to be just as good as Pulak.
I think so, yeah, for
just
sure.
Give him a couple years.
We could have a 1A and 1B, boys. We could have a 1A and 1B and then top D, man.
Exactly.
Bodie Wild reminds
me of Pulak. Second line.
So we have another one coming.
Yeah, we need
Then you have Scott Mayfield, too.
Yeah. We got a great D, and we're still so young. Like,
and we're big.
D is so young. Yeah. We're young, we're big, mobile. I love it.
We replaced a midget with a guy who's 6'4", 200-plus pounds.
Yeah.
I love Noah Dobson.
So I think that we can put a bow on the preseason
Yeah. Not a B-A-A-U, but a B-O-W.
That was brutal, honestly. I hate breaking down preseason games. I can't wait for the season to start.
Well, like, I have one thing.
Listen to our breakdowns of the preseason, and you are absolutely a hardcore Islander fan, because as difficult as it is to listen sometimes to that, it's even harder sometimes to watch it when you know the team is just going through the motions. Like, yeah. that 3-1 Ranger game was like,
whoa. It's hard to get on, guys, when it's like the preseason. It's like, I don't want to trash anybody, you know?
So look.
Well, wait, Damon. I have one more question. Is Dobson going to change numbers, or do you think he'll stay 45?
Wasn't he 8 when he played last season?
Yes.
I think he's going to wear number 8.
I want him to stay 45 so that we can say that we have the better 45, because Kapokaka wears 45. Yeah,
there's no way that Lou's going to let that slide.
No, I know, but just imagine the propaganda of our
Oh, I know.
No, Lou said he can wear 5. He's wearing Poffin's number.
Yeah, oh, God. That's worse than Hose saying wearing 66.
No, hold on. Ready? He takes Hickey's number 4.
He might.
I just want to stay 45.
That would be perfect. Thanks, kid.
The Kapokaka, though.
He pats him on the head. Just see you later. Takes his stall in the locker, too.
I like Hickey. I feel bad for him. Give him 8. Give
Dobson. Pat him on the head. That's the rumor on Twitter, that he patted him on the head and took his stall. that's the rumor. Look it up.
Kenny, how do you know? You don't have Twitter.
Dude, I looked it up on Google.
That's true. This kid doesn't have Twitter, but he's got a podcast.
Twitter's a dumpster.
All right. Twitter's so look, that's and you got to join the dumpster fire. We're there with the kindling. What do you
follow the Islanders? Like, come on. I don't need any more.
All right. You guys are really blocking me from transitioning. I'm dying to talk about the actual real games, but we want to keep just bringing it back to nonsense. Are we ready?
Let's wrap it up.
October 4th, the puck drops. Isles, Caps, at the barn. Let's go.
It's going to be a tough week.
I'll be there.
Aaron, for that one.
That's a tough game. That's a heavy team, man. I'm telling you, them adding Gudas, they got Willie, they got Ovechkin, they got Gudas, they got big dudes. And that's going to be their second game of the season. They're playing St. Louis opening night on Wednesday. And then, so they're going to kind of get the rust out. So I'm a little worried about that game.
Ross Johnson, hat trick. Islanders have won 4-3 in overtime. I just made that up. Just kidding.
I mean, I think every game in the Metro is going to be pretty close. I think the Caps are going to be a great test. I think you know, that's going to be a tougher game. I think we might be able to jump on the Jets, who we play on Sunday, because the Jets, Connor missed camp. Laine missed camp. Bufflin's not around. Like, they're not quite the same team. I think they've got a little ways to go to ramp up. So I think we might get lucky playing them early in the season. But I think the Caps are going to be a tougher. I think we might end up, you know, maybe dropping opening night in overtime and then beating the Jets or something. The Islanders always seem to, except for last year, but they always seem to lose that first game and then win the second game of the season. That seems to be their MO.
Well, I'm going, so I kind of hope that doesn't happen. So I'm going to stay faithful. I think the Islanders are going to win 4-2. We'll go 4-2 win. Empty net. Right.
Who scores the first goal of the season? Ebs?
Bailey.
Yeah, I think Bailey.
We go Bailey.
Who do you got, Ben?
Broussard. I like that. Yeah, Broussard's a beast.
Wait.
Yeah, I hope he's okay. He missed the last game because of illness or something. So maybe he ate those fried mac and cheese balls that you ate at the game, Ben.
Disgusting. I read a poll on Twitter. What's worse? It was like the second period. So it was, what's worse, the Islanders play so far, or it was like those Kraft mac and cheese things, like a little.
All right. This food talk. I haven't eaten dinner yet. You guys are killing me.
All right. I'm starving. So look, The next show, we will have at least 2 games to talk about. We're going to try to record after the Jets game, but before the Oilers game. So first 3 games of the season, we got the Caps, we got
Friday
the Jets,
night? And then What's we the got Jets? The Oilers. Jets are when?
Jets are Sunday. So it's Friday night against the Caps, Sunday the 6th against Winnipeg, and then Tuesday the 8th against Edmonton. So
yeah, we'll have an episode Monday, right?
Do post game after
Let's
one
do
of
a
the
post game after Sunday's game. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right after Sunday's.
Columbus Day.
That sounds good. All right. Well, I think we're ready to end this one here. You guys have anything else you want to add before we head out?
God bless if you've lasted this long and are still listening.
Yeah, exactly. What he said.
All right. Well, look, we know it seems like every day there's a new podcast that pops up on Twitter for the Isles. So we really appreciate the listens.
Thank you guys
for sticking with us. You don't have to listen to us talk about preseason games anymore. So hallelujah, that's done. But again, you know, hey, review the podcast. We'd love you to do that. Subscribe. You know, share it on Twitter if you can. We're on Spotify. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. We're, you know, anywhere you get podcasts, pretty much we're there. Write into us if you've got a question, if you've got a comment. Ben is at @LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13, KaijuBlue13. And hey, the season's here. Tomorrow's October 1st. And if you're listening to this, then it's probably already October. It's here. We've survived. Hockey is back in an official capacity. For Ben and Kenny, I'm Damon. Thanks for listening. Later.